Welcome back. Welcome back. We are back in the building. Thank you for joining us one more time. This is Wonder Why with L Wonder. And on this episode, we're going to be talking about, we're going to continue and conclude with moving forward. We're talking about moving forward. What happens when you deal with losses? What happens when you deal with disappointments? Disappointments in yourself, disappointment in other people. How do you move forward? Building trust. Being able to just adapt and adjust after going through some crazy situations. And this is a good time, especially dealing with the pandemic and stuff like that. So thank you once more for tuning into Wonder Why with your boy L Wonder featuring Mr. K. And right now we're about to conclude and had a second part, second and closing part of moving forward. Enjoy. Peace. I did just want to kind of jump right back into the conversation last week. And just in case you wasn't here last week, we actually had a conversation about moving forward. We was talking about how in depth about being able to get past losses, being able to get past disappointments and regrets and everything like that. And one of the things that we did talk about, I guess we finally got to the conclusion by the end of the show of last week that it is a necessity into dealing with some stuff. And that's kind of where I wanted to pick up right there was we all understand and we do get the grips of why we need to deal with the losses, why we need to deal with regrets, why we need to deal with things, the actual issues that brought us to that point or brought us to the regret. But what I want to kind of touch on here, because we know it's important to deal with it. So if we know it's important to deal with it, why do you think that there are so many people who don't deal with it? Like, why is there such a stigmatism about actually dealing with stuff?
Dealing with what in particular? Like,
so whether it's a loss, we can start off with talking about losses. Okay. Why do people like kind of avoid dealing with losses?
Well, I think the thing about losses is, and when I say losses, it doesn't necessarily have to be like there's different types of losses. So there's like a loss, like a person that was like a relationship that failed, one that you realize in hindsight maybe could have worked and it didn't work out, or it didn't end on a type of positive or a type of understanding that would allow people to not regret how it went down. Then there's like the loss of like a person passing away. Mm-hmm. So I think that the thing about with passing away is when you lose somebody that passed away, I think the difficulty of moving past it is the finality of it. You know, like knowing like this is it. Like that's what the devastating is to somebody. And even though religiously and spiritually people believe in reconnection on a next plane or a next level or next spiritual realm, it's hard to kind of grasp things moving forward without that person. And I think that one of the most difficult things is that especially if you felt like there was a little more you could have done emotionally or physically, or you could have said some things, you get a chance to redo some things. I think that that is where a lot of people kind of harbor that, and they kind of think back on those things. Like me personally, I just recently, like 2 days ago, had a dream about my grandfather. And like this is the first time I actually said anything about it. I didn't even tell Camille about it, but I had a dream about my grandfather. I don't know all the I don't know how to remember all the details of the dream, but I remember my grandfather hugging me, you know. I remember him hugging me and just like pat me on the back and like saying it's gonna be okay. And I just remember feeling like when I seen him, like it's weird when you see people in dreams because you know they're passed away. But they're so real to you in these dreams, but you know they're passed away. And I just remember seeing them and crying, like really being emotional. Like, I know you're not here, Grandpa, you know, like I know this is a dream. Like you, mm-hmm. like you get into that mode, like even though you're in a dream state, you see these people for real. And, you know, I just remember my grandfather, and I don't have any type of regret concerning my grandfather, but I still can't identify I'm dealing with the loss.
I get that. And you did that makes a lot of sense, because it does take a reality, it does take a realization, when especially when you're dealing with losses of somebody, that you got to realize that they're not coming back. I dealt with that, we've all dealt with that, especially dealing with losses of people that's really close to us, whether it's grandparents, parents, spouses, really good close friends, brothers, sisters. So I can definitely understand that. I think another part of it, even jumping into the realm of not necessarily losing somebody to due to death, but losing somebody in a relationship, or losing, just like you said, and what you felt like should or could or had the ability to work. It's, I think another part of dealing with it is also being able to deal with what's next, being able to deal with, okay, now what's the next move forward? Now what do I got to do moving forward? Like, it changes. One thing that I was, even when it came to Sharia passing, the realization, just like me and you was talking about kind of last week, I had to realize, okay, I knew I can take care of the bills, but now I got to take care of the bills. I knew I can make sure I got children, so I got to make sure that I got to make sure that they're eating all the time, that they're eating three meals a day. I got to make sure that I'm not just feeding them takeout or fast food all the time. You know, I got to actually change my mentality to cooking, to making sure that they eating right. I also got to make sure that they go into the doctor. You know, that's something that, you know, my sister-in-law said, hey, are you taking them to the doctor? When is their next appointment? Like, she had to remind me of certain things as well. So it was the responsibility that carries on after certain losses, even if it's a relationship. If you're used to being in a relationship and you don't have to worry about the paying certain bills, and now after losing that relationship, where that relationship is over, that's the responsibility. I think that's another portion of it as well, is the realization of having to deal with this situation, but also now the carried responsibilities that got to be passed on.
Yeah. You know, and another thing about loss, I think that, and that's why the other side of loss is difficult too, because when you relationship wise, and when I say relationship, it doesn't always mean like boyfriend, girlfriend, or husband, or relationship. But a loss in a relationship, depending on how close you were with that person, if that person is still around, you know, it's difficult to try to figure out how to reconcile that, even if it is something that's reconcilable. Yeah. And, you know, for a lot of people, friendships are, they cannot be considered important, but they're considered to be necessary. Uh-huh. And to everybody, like first, like myself, I consider myself to be sort of on the island, and I have a lot of people that I associate with, but I don't have a lot of friends. You know what I'm saying? I can honestly say I don't have a lot of friends. And I don't feel bad by saying that, you know, so by the friends I do have, the relationship I had with it was important. So whenever you end up losing a friend or somebody close to you, some people compensate by putting people in that position, but it doesn't erase the history and the time that you have together. And that in itself could be a hindrance to you.
I agree. I definitely agree. It can change how it could change it, especially if you're so used to the dynamics. For instance, you know, at one point in time, you know, I realized the dynamic of Amanda and her mom, and you know how close they are and stuff like that. So I remember at one point when the closer we came to being getting married and our wedding and everything, you know, her mother started kind of transitioning to say, hey, okay, I just want to back up a little bit more. And oh shoot, we used to hang out so often, or we used to hang out a lot more. You used to be over here every weekend. Now you're not over here as often, you with your family. She had to, it was her mentality to, they had to transition a relationship. And it can't alter not just losing, but it can just alter the relationship, the foundation of what the relationship is. You might not see each other often, or you might not be around each other as much, or certain things that you used to do with one relationship is now happening between a different area or a different group of people. So you can just change and shift the relationship. So it's not necessarily, I can understand that, it's not necessarily a negative thing when it comes to transitioning or shifting, because that was hard for Amanda for a minute. She's like, I don't like the fact that I feel like my mother is backing up off of me. And she had a conversation with her, and she had to explain, it's not that I'm backing up, I'm just giving you a chance to develop this relationship in your household now, what's formulated into your own household. So I can definitely get that. Another thing that I think that when it comes to losses, or even disappointments, that I feel like that's important for us to be able to move forward. And like I said, from a disappointment perspective, is the learning aspect. You know that saying is, where no matter what you're doing and all you're doing, I mean, it says it biblically, and all you're getting, get an understanding. But then we also know that they tell us life, that we also supposed to learn in every situation. Anything we go through, whether it's good or bad, we should always learn from it. But I think that has a real huge part to play in it, that's another benefit of going through, or well, even if it's disappointment or failures on your behalf, just being able to learn from it so you won't make the same mistake. It's like when you touch the stove and you realize it's hot. Now you know, even no matter how much somebody been telling you before, now you realize when you touch that stove, it's hot. So it may don't make you, you check it before you turn it on, or you check it before you touch it next time. So I think go ahead.
You know, and I think that like on the next level of losses, you know, ever since we are little kids, we have been programmed to, whether it's directly or indirectly, we've always been programmed to be in romantic relationships. Uh-huh. Like you program a little kid to be in a relationship. It starts young. And if anybody doesn't believe this, all you have to do is just look at cartoons or toys. You know what I'm saying? Like Barbie is Barbie, but Ken does exist. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you have the toys, and everything is, they are set up for you since you are a child, to believe that at a certain point of your life, you should be able to connect with someone that you can be in a relationship with. And when I say a relationship with, it means it's just share all your happy moments, your sad moments, you're talking, you're spending time together. And you know, where you're going on trips, you know, and I, like I said, you have all your best friends and things like that, but I'm just saying there's always a draw to be connected to a person. And so we spend so many years trying to develop ourselves and trying to make connections and have relationships with people or a person that could be the person. Uh-huh. And that we have all of these high hopes as we get older. And the longer when you find somebody, you're hoping, you know, when you're young, it's kind of like, you just kind of throwing it around, like maybe this is a good person, maybe it's not, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Let's just see where it goes. You know, and as you get older and you start to understand yourself more and you start to transition to another phase in your life, you start hoping and trying to predict and trying to see if this is going to be something else. Like, is this the one? You know what I'm saying? Is this the person? Like, is this person going to be the one for me? Are they going to be the one to make me happy? Are they the one to complete me? Because I believe myself, I believe, because they use the term soulmates, that's a description. But I believe that every person, and this is controversial, so everybody that's listening to me, you can edit out this next 3 minutes of what I'm about to say. But if you're on the same astral plane as me, you're going to feel what I have to say. I believe that every person is born as a part of a half of a soul. And that soul is always longing to be complete with a second half of a soul. And so when two people come together, they're looking for each other through space or through time. When they are born into the world, they are looking for each other. So I think that when the like-minded souls and these like-minded people come together, they have a connection, a spiritual connection between the two, which causes the relationship to form in the physical sense outside of that. So what you see two people coming together in a physical sense is actually a manifestation of something on a spiritual plane that is happening, and you're just looking at the residual effects of it. That's a lot.
It's good. That will open up this question then.
Okay.
With that being said, are we saying that there's one person that can make that completion? Are we saying that it's not necessarily a exact fit, but whoever comes to fulfill that place that the two can mold into one? Or how is that? I mean, what, from your idea, I know we don't have every fact or everything broken down where we know exactly how this is going to work out. But from your understanding, what do you see from that? How do you see
Well, that's a good question. That's a good point, because people have multiple relationships. But that goes back to what I was saying before, that basically this is a game that you play from the time that you're young all the way up until the time that you're old. Is that you are playing this game, this real lifetime game, where you are picking and choosing and trying to decide if this person is right for you or if that person is right for you, or did you make a mistake here or did you make a mistake there? Because you're always trying to fit pieces. It's like a puzzle. So you're always trying to fit pieces together, trying to see if they can form together on this thing. And compatibility in relationships is, to me, is a myth. I believe truly everybody can be compatible. Mm-hmm. Okay. You can be compatible with anybody. The problem is that compatibility is created. So you're not born to be part of somebody else's story. You're not born to be part of somebody else's pain and their suffering and their struggle and their problems. You're not physically born to just to fit with somebody's life situations before they got to you. These are things that we learn to adjust to do. So when it comes to being compatible, we are adjusting ourselves to a person that we are in a relationship with so that we can better understand them and be able to cohabitate with them and to set new standards and to raise standards just based on what we feel is necessary to make our relationship grow. So
okay, I like that.
So many different people can be together because we've had relationships that worked and some that didn't work, and we can say, oh well, person is this way, and we have a perception of them, but that same person with somebody else is very strong within that relationship. Their relationship is happier. And so it's just about things some people say I will put up with or I won't put up with. Okay. So
yeah, that's good.
I do believe that there's a certain level of connection that people have on a spiritual level, but there's also a connection that people have as far as making concessions to create compatibility.
And I agree. Yeah. What's up, Kim? How you feeling? So I think I agree with you and what you're saying, because I agree. You know, I think that too many people can get hung up on I'm supposed to be with this person, or this is my perfect match, or and stuff like that. Because what I'm learning and what I have learned, especially when it comes to relationships, is okay, there's a natural compatibility that you may have, regardless of the level of natural compatibility that you might have. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done when it comes to adjusting your lifestyles to fit and work and move and engage with each other. Like, it's not just about, oh, this is my sign, this is your sign, we got compatible signs.
Hey, Tasha.
We gonna be perfect together. What's up, girl? So, but it's not just about how y'all match with each other, but it's about even once y'all get together or once y'all come together as the one unit, y'all learning how to function within each other. Because, and it could be something simple as leaving the toilet seat up, or which way you leave the toilet tissue, you like it over, you like it under, to, you know, who likes to cook or who don't like to cook, or what do you like to eat, or what, and stuff like that. So it's a lot of, once you get with the person, I think it's very important that most people understand that. And it's like you always told me, the relationship don't start once you get down the aisle. The relationship it's not about getting down the aisle. It's about staying married. Anybody can get married, but it's about staying married and that work that you will have to put into staying married, because you ain't gonna like every moment that you with that person. You're not gonna like everything that person say. And you know, at sometimes you might be joking about something and they dead serious about the same exact issue. So it's, you just gotta be able to, it's kind of like we were talking about communication, but I think it'd run further than just the word or just the idea of communication to understanding. So it's a lot of work. I agree, it's not about compatibility, but I think that that's also, just like we were talking about, to the point that we started off with, disappointments or losses, even in relationship realm, that's why we can have a relationship with somebody and it goes terrible, it ends in a negative way, but then the next relationship, it seemed like they flourish in the next relationship. And many women deal with that a lot and go through it. And I've heard, and I'll say this, I heard many women talk about this, where that's messed up that I prepped them and I worked on them to the point where they ready for the next person. And I think that it was it has a lot more to do with, and it's just not me, but it has a lot more to do with that loss could have been the preparation, or that previous relationship could you're absolutely right. It could have been a preparation, or it could have been just that whatever transition they had to go through after you. So I definitely get that.
That's a good point. That's real insightful. That's real insightful for you. That's good. I'm not saying you don't have nothing insightful to say. I'm just saying,
Wait a minute.
No, but I'm just saying, like, that's insightful, because that's one of the frustrations when we're talking about dealing with loss. That's one of the things that people have when you're dealing with loss, is that one thing that's really painful about losing a relationship is seeing where your person you felt like was just a complete failure. Mm-hmm. In a relationship, to see that person move forward and to be in a relationship and be positive and be fruitful, and it stings. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really stings. It stings because why would this person not be able to do this with me? The things that I've been asking them to do. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to work. They didn't want to support me. They didn't want to do these type of things. They didn't want to take care of the kids. And now all of a sudden, they have grown into something else. But like mm-hmm. you said, there could be a moment where that person realized that they needed to build on themselves. And we internalize and try to make a selfish judgment and think that what they decided to do is spiteful to us. It's a way to be spiteful to us. But it's not that. There's a possibility that the person decided to work on themselves. And we get upset about it because they decided to work on themselves. So, I mean, that in itself stings. And a lot of people they get disgruntled about it and they hold a grudge about it because they personally, they feel like you were terrible with them mm-hmm. because it was about them, when in actuality, it could have been about you.
And I think that plays into even further, especially when they move forward. Exactly. I mean, but see, that's now, to speak to that point, she said, especially when they move on with trash, moving forward with trash. Someone who honestly, definitely not at your caliber.
But is it trash though, Tasha?
That's a good question. That's a really good question.
Are they trash, Tasha?
You realize
you built him up for someone else.
And see, that's what I'm talking. So now, in saying that, that makes you feel some type of way. And, you know, I feel like I realized that at the beginning, especially at the beginning stages of relationships.
Ask Lamar.
You know, because she was telling me about her, and if you don't mind, if we cool with that, she's talking about how.
Don't you do it.
She was talking about how being with this guy, you know, she helped get this guy a job. She helped get this guy, put him on his feet and established this guy. And then the next person that he got with, and her name just so happened to be Tasha as well, which is very ironic, but yeah, see, she called her the other Tasha. But she don't bring the same energy and effort that she brought to the table. So, you know, and that's the one he's investing in so much more. We had this conversation a couple of different times, and we kind of talked about how I talked to her about how, you know, that's her, the personality is the type that she nurtures a lot, extreme nurture. And sometimes people can take advantage of that. So, but I think that it, just like what I was saying before, was, it's crazy how when you first start off in a relationship, you have no problem with giving and giving and giving. And then with each relationship, you just give a little bit more because you like, well, shoot, you know, this person, look, I heard, I can't remember who it was.
But she's wilding out on the feed now.
I see. But she was, I heard somebody say, I never buy a man no shoes because the last man that I bought shoes, he walked out of my life with them.
Yeah, and, or they'll say that.
Yeah. Or they'll say something like, you don't do this, do you don't pay a man's bill, because then and there's a lot of stigmatism that goes along with it. So they stop. So with each relationship, ongoing relationship you have, you do a little bit less, more openness, until you figure out, is this really the one? Or until you really get your head in the game, like, is this really, really the one? So that's, I think that that causes a lot of, that takes away from a lot, because you're holding back a little bit more. And how is it? I mean, because who knows? You might be holding back the exact things that next person might need or might show or might bring that person in or draw that person in. And I think sometimes what we do is we tend to allow our hurt to break us away from what we potentially want. Like, we allow our hurt to stop us from getting where we need to be sometimes, because we give less and less because of our past hurts or because of our past mistakes or our past, what we might consider as failures.
Yeah, but that's the thing though. A failed relationship, there are relationships that aren't failed relationships.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Some relationships are just mutually understood that they're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. A failed relationship, the difference between a failed relationship is something that you felt like you put effort into.
Okay.
And when you put effort into something, it's just like from I can use a cooking reference. It's just like you're going to cook this meal, right? And you did all this prep. You chopped up all the potatoes. You chopped up all the onions. You made sure that you got your seasonings perfect. And you know when you were creating your dessert, you added the right amount of sugar. You had all the prep doing it. You had it done the night before, so it was early. And that next morning, you took everything out. You start preparing everything, and everything was going fine, right? Mm-hmm. But the only thing you weren't in charge of was the oven temperature. Mm-hmm. And you let somebody else be in charge of it, and they left the oven on too high, or they left it on too long, and then they ruined your meal. Mm. That's what a fair relationship is like. That's what it's like. It's like the moment you realize that I can't eat any of this, and you realize I can't serve any of it, I can't eat any of it, and I don't have time to make any more. Mm. And so when you put all of that into a moment in a time frame, especially as you get older, you start really like, can I continue to prepare this meal? Can I continue to do all this prep and get it done right perfectly the same time? And then you start being more cautious about how you prepare the meal. And you start being cautious. You start fixing less of the meal. Mm-hmm. You start not being sure if you want to trust somebody to put the temperature on. So now you want to overcompensate. No, I'm going to do this. No, I'm going to do that. And you just start assuming that they're not going to have stuff prepared right. So then the longer you do this, fry me some fish. Somebody asking to fry some fish. Look, I'm on a show, okay? Right. Listen. but I'm saying that it's like that. So the older you mm-hmm. get, you start being more and more, and then you get to the point where you don't want to prepare the meal at all.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? And now you scarred. Like, I don't prepare this meal for nobody. And that's what a loss in relationship is like.
Now, I think that's a really great analogy, and I think that's the truth. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to figure out is, and that's true, you know, Camille, you're absolutely right, especially when it's long term effects, like having kids is the most extreme, because that's the, like, once you have children, that's the connection for the rest of your life. I mean, if you buy a car, if you buy a house, if you do certain things, purchases together, you can always figure that out later, even though it is, that's a heavy task too, when you're dealing with how we go take care of this, or how we go take care of it, especially good. So having kids are definitely, you stuck. You and that's if you got two people who willing to make sure you be it, because you got many situations where as soon as the relationship is out, and I'm gonna be real, that person is out too. So we see that more than often nowadays. But my question is, or not my question, but I think that we need to be able to get to a point where, even though it hurts, can we keep going? Is it worth it? Is what our end goal, being in a relationship or being in a place? No, I think, look, I've learned, and I'm not learning from experience. I don't always have to learn from experience, but I've learned that even it's past 18 years, that having a child is way past 18 years.
Talking about 18 years dealing with person.
That makes sense.
Because I mean, it all depends, because even if the person is an absent parent or they're around, you're still dealing with them. And I'm gonna tell you, one of the most ironic things about having kids with somebody from a previous relationship or from a failed relationship is that you literally have to live with that person. Like, you're going to live with that person even though you're not together, because 9 times out of 10, that child is going to have some personality traits, if not be exactly like that other person. Uh-huh. And you see it in them, you hear them talking, you see them walking around your house. You know they in there, and it's your kid. And so it's like, you not just having a failed relationship with him. Like, you're seeing this person every day.
All the time. Sharia said that all the time. She was like, when we were separated, she said, you just don't realize how hard it was while I was trying to get over such and such, such and such with you. You know, I'm looking at LJ walk past me, and I'm like, that's him right there. little more walking place. So I can understand that. I definitely get that.
Because in itself, I mean, you have to draw a line between your child and your ex, because you trying to make it seem, you know, like, I love my child. You know what I'm saying? And you trying not to make your child feel some type of way. Like, one of my daughters said that I feel some type of way about her because I feel some type of way about her mother because they look exactly alike. And, you know, I felt bad about that she felt that way. But I also had to reassure her that's not the case. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I can understand that even a child sometimes kind of see the way you look at them and you kind of make references to them. Mm-hmm. And you say things to them, and you say things about their personality, as well as say things about their other parents' personality. When you start doing a comparison between the two, and the child starts seeing that you see the other parent in them. And so, I mean, these relationships, they go deep. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you have kids, like, they go really deep.
But I think it's really important, just like you said before, and I think out of everything that we've been talking about, whether it was last week, whether in continuing on this week, I think, because even just listening to that your child, listening to your daughter when she said that, and being able to really hear her say that. Because a lot of times, and let's be real, it's just natural as humans, when somebody challenges us or check us or correct us about something, we naturally brush it off, or we naturally move away from that because if we don't like it, it don't feel good. So when somebody checking us or correcting us or say something that hurts our feelings or put us in a position, even when it comes to the child, we naturally brush it off. So to just be able to listen and hear how they feel, like we make them feel at times, is real challenging itself. Like, you got to be able to really be assured and within yourself to hear something like that. but then also start making moves, especially when it comes to a child. And I think that's one of the things that I'm trying to get to when it comes to these hurts and these pains and stuff like that. And it is going to lead into what I would like to talk about next week. But I think that I wanted to just paint a picture this week of why it's valid, why it's important for us to have to, why we need to be willing to go through this, the crap, the hurt, the pain, the embarrassment, sometimes, especially because why it's important. Because eventually that other side look a lot better than what it looked like right now. Like I'll be honest with you, anybody who know me knows one thing about me is I respect and I honor and I always acknowledge the person, the character of who Sharia is. I have no problem with that. Now, with her passing away, everybody who know me knows that it was a huge blow, especially because we just found our drive. We just found our groove within our relationship. So in saying that, when she passed away, I felt like we was at the best point that we was at. And then she's gone. Now she's gone. Now, at that point, God has already taken me to a place where I was not questioning what he did, or I did not question him in the situation. I didn't question him in the situation. My question was, okay, Lord, now what? So in saying that, I was learning, and it was hard. I'm not going to say it's easy, but at that point, I was able to trust him and where he had me at. I was able to trust him and the placement that I was in. I didn't know what it was going to happen, what was going to happen from it. I had no idea. I didn't know. And trust me, getting to that point, we was at 12, 13 years, right before she passed. We was at 13 years before she passed, where now we hit that groove. And I'm looking like, yeah, I don't really want to start all over. It's not worth starting all over. But the feeling of that success made me feel like, okay, it might be worth it. The feeling of having somebody who was really, who you understood, it's like, we were both, I'm not really all into the astrology or nothing like that, but we were both Leos. And as you know, when two lions can either clash, and that's what we went through for 9-10 years, and not every moment, but that's what we went through for the most part of 9-10 years. But then when I took my position as a king and she took her position as a queen, we respected each other's position as king and queen, we was able to stand tall as the royalty that we were meant to be. And that's what we had to eventually get to. So now, with me losing that, I had to really play in my head like, okay, L, yes, you don't want to have to go through everything that you just went through to get to this happy point, but you know that everything that you've been through was worth it. So you got to be ready. You got to be willing. You got to mentally set yourself up. And you got to go to God, because he is going to be a lot of help from him. You'll need him in order to be able to do this again. Because I know my mentality was as a husband. So that's what I think I really want to portray to many people who are listening now, is no matter what your situation is looking like, I guarantee your end result is definitely going to be worth it. And I don't even have to know you personally in order to say that. I think that if God is allowing you to go through, or at least trying to fix your mentality to go through it again, I definitely believe it's worth it.
Well, you know, it also, like, I see a lot of people, especially women on social media, have characterized like what's considered to be a good man and what's considered to be a bad man. Mm-hmm. And they have like different characteristics, like you said, like different characteristics. This is what a good man does. This is what a bad man does. You know, you ain't a real man if you don't do this. You know, you're not a, you know, it's always picking men apart. And I'm going somewhere just because I'm saying it just based on what you just said. Mm-hmm. And the thing about losing and having bad relationships is that you don't know if you're with a good person or not, or if you're with a good man or a good woman or not, unless you've been with a bad one. Mm-hmm. Or unless you've seen one up close. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to see one up close and say, yeah, now that's a bad man. That's a bad woman. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know. No, so, like, right. Or you raise in a house and be like, I don't want to be with anybody like that. But a lot of times we look at losses as all the way negative, but losses can also be something as well as positive, because it gives you a standard in which to a standard in which to look at somebody and to be able to rightly divide or judge what it is that you're looking at. You have a better understanding. And another thing is that always what we consider to be bad or bad people or bad relationships are not necessarily bad. It's just that we ourselves have some growing to do, where we could not tolerate the imperfections or the things that we didn't consider to give concessions to with another person. So we look at them as their bad relationship or their bad person, but we realize that we necessarily have to work on that. We're the same people, even though we grow. I'm the same person who had bad relationships before, but I grew. And so I can see that somebody that I was with in the past, I can see that they grew. You know what I'm saying? They just wasn't necessarily supposed to grow with me. And I might not have necessarily meant to grow with them. But I do know what I don't want in a relationship. And I know that people realize they don't want a relationship. After you be with somebody, as you realize that's not something you want to be compatible with. And so it's not about them necessarily being bad. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's about best understanding. Because like you said, with you and Sharia, you had all these years to be together, to be compatible. And I know a lot of y'all's story. I've seen the totality of it, but I also seen the result. You know what I'm saying? What it literally took y'all a decade to get to. Like at any point in time before that moment, y'all could have extinguished that relationship. Because it wasn't what you both wanted. Like y'all was young, so y'all was trying to be compatible.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of pushing back and forth. But you know what I'm saying? And y'all was trying to continue to be strong and stay together. But up until that moment, it took 10 years for y'all to realize, dang, this is what it would have took to be happy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because so you always could have been there. But it took y'all to go through something in order for y'all to reconcile it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's, like you said, that's one of the things that you can sit on the back end and regret, is to say, dang, well, man, we could have did this sooner. You know what I'm saying? We could have had much more time to grow. But at the same time, you can be happy knowing that you resolved that.
Yeah.
That's why you were able to move forward.
And I think that kind of is what I think I want to lead. And you know, we'll talk about this a little bit more, but I really would like to, I think that's why I wanted to just really touch on, that's why I was excited when you talked to me about touching on this subject, because I believe that a lot of people are going through this. And this is just my mentality. I don't want to just talk about why we got this. I don't just want to talk about the issue. I would like to try to offer and try to help or try to discuss or try to break through why we have these issues and how to actually continue going on and help people resolve these issues. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm not here to try to be no psychiatrist for nobody. And I don't have no degree in nothing like that. So I'm not going to pretend. I can just give you my outlook. We can just give our perspective, our outlook, and it can be helpful in some instances, but other people won't have a chance. I mean, it won't make a difference in their situation. In saying that, I want to talk about next week about self-love. Now, this term itself can mean something totally different between males and females. But self-love and the what's out here now, I think is necessary. So if that's what I want to kind of touch bases on next week, is the value and importance. I also want to touch on, you know, how self-love can be an excuse, can be used as an excuse. So trying to avoid self, the term or the actions as an excuse, trying to avoid the excuse of self-love, but really use it as a meaningful device that can help us reach that potential. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put out a couple different posts throughout the week because I really want some feedback. I really want some female perspective about self-love. And I really just want to see what, I really want to talk about this because I think that from the hurting, from the pain, from the disappointments, from the losses, that if we can start tapping into getting to know, getting to understand, and getting to identify and developing ourselves and loving ourselves, then that will make us better for whatever future situation, whether it's professionally, whether it's intimate, whether it's relationship-wise from a family perspective or children perspective or whatnot. But I do appreciate everybody for listening. Fagan, you got any closing words, any last words that you want to say before we get off of here?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Everybody, do not hesitate to go on LWonder821. That's the page. And I also shared this to LWonder821, to Wonder Why 821, which is the page on here. If you want to tap in there, I'm going to have a couple questions posted. If you got anything to say, do not hesitate to leave a message, send any messages or send your ideas. If you got any show ideas, if you got anything that you feel like you want to hear talk about, if you want to hear us talk about, do not hesitate to mention it. Like I said before, I really do appreciate the fact that y'all took the time on y'all Sunday afternoon just to listen to us talk about how to deal with hurt. Once again, I'm your boy, L Wonder, and this is Mr. K, Keith in the Streets. And until next week, we'll see you next week at 4 o'clock. And more than likely, we're going to be talking about self-love. We'll talk to y'all later. See you.